Lay we every burden down, then our spirits will deliver and receive our robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, oh, that beautiful, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach a shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, oh, that beautiful, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Amen. You can be seated.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy, Father, that we can gather together here before you and worship you and praise you. Father, we thank you that you have prepared a way for us, Father, that we're men and women who have been born for these days. Father, let us be full of your Spirit. Father God, we thank you for your word that brings us with full of peace and full of the ability to know that you're our comforter. Father, we thank you for this day, for your mercy, and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
God promises that he's here, so we know that. Sometimes I just got to get here. I don't ever have to wait on him. He waits on me patiently, so I want to get here today. I want to worship him, and that's why we're here. So let's sing this beautiful chorus, God is so good. And Holy Spirit, just please clear the clutter in our minds, and may we focus on you. May we worship you. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. Now I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. Oh, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. Again, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord.
Okay, there's a couple of things in the bulletin that I need to bring to your attention. One is a week from this coming Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock will be September the 28th, 8 a.m. in the morning. We will be having here at Liberty Academy, See You at the Pole, and it will be at the elementary building down there where we do that. We will have every grade. When they first started having See You at the Pole, it was basically for teenagers who were being told, you cannot have a club in school. You cannot pray in school. These Christian teenagers were determined that they would be able to have a place to be able to gather. So they said, can we gather outside the school at the pole? And they were said, well, yes, you can do that. Since then, it has grown into a nationwide, scattered out across the world, where Christian teenagers are meeting on that date all over the world and coming together. We would like to invite you on September the 28th to join us at 8 a.m. in the elementary building down there. Let's just fill that parking lot up with all sorts of people being down there and celebrating that. 2 weeks from today will be October, because I've already made the announcement, said it would be August. August, October. I don't know, my brain can't tell the difference. But it will be October the 2nd. I do believe, I've just texted one of the people who's going to be involved, the youth of Liberty Baptist Church are wanting to have a first Sunday meal after the 10:45 service. It'll be back in here. They're going to prepare everything under someone else's supervision. You don't have to worry about, what? Kids are making food? I don't want to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They don't either. So you might want to be aware that the 2 weeks from today will be October the 2nd, and we'll be having the first Sunday meal, and it will cost $5 to be able to come and be a part of that. You say, well, why are we paying $5 for them to make a meal? Because that helps them with some of the projects that they have coming up. You'll be aware of that. That will help them with some of the projects that they have coming up. And young people need to be involved in things that are going on in the church. And so if you come, you're helping to support them in their involvement here at Liberty Baptist Church. So that's 2 weeks from today after the 10:45 service. And then on October the 2nd, 2 weeks from today, I'm trying to remember everything. Oh, that's when it's going to be, October the 2nd. Then the See You at the Pole will be September the 28th, a week from Wednesday, down here at the elementary building. Are there any guests or visitors in the congregation? You all help me if you're a guest or visitor, because I have my reading glasses on and I don't see anybody that's winking at me or saying, hey. Anybody that's a guest or a visitor? All right. Are there any celebrations, birthdays, or anniversaries? Any birthdays or anniversaries? I don't know if y'all know that Patricia is celebrating, because this last week at this time she was in intensive care, and she's here this morning. So we want to thank God for her not being there anymore. All right, so I don't see any birthdays or anniversaries, but we did have a celebration, and I don't see any visitors, and so brother, take it away. To see you today. Come on, stand up, reach out and say that, move around.
Like the old days.
It is. Okay. Not being able to communicate as well as I'd hope to be able to communicate. Thank you.
Can we have the blue mic for my guitar? As we make our way back to our seats, it's so good to see everybody here. God bless you, and I'm thankful that we're able to fellowship more like the old times, and we need each other, don't we? We need this fellowship, and so God is so good to this body of Christ. So again, thank you for being here. You can make your way back to your seat and be seated. That's fine. I want to do a song that, and y'all certainly know this one. Brother Tom preached a message a few weeks ago on prayer, and y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. He preached a message on prayer, and it was such a wonderful message. And I just, what a resource that we have, that I think we live beneath our means with that. So thank you, Brother Tom, for that message. This song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found and oft escapes the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God, my Savior, shows His face, and gladly take my station there and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me His face, believe His word and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Brenda, if you'll come at this time and take us to the throne of God.
Are we working? Okay. Good. Gave me time to get my eyes on. Oh, my. I'm going to sing a song I've sang before, but it means a lot. I think this This week, though, when I was kind of going through it and everything, it dawned on me that this song, when I first sang it, I thought, well, this is kind of a call to people who are not saved, you know, to come to Jesus. But then I realized that it's actually for those who are saved also. Because we get in our day-to-day lives, and we get caught up in some things sometimes, and we forget the grace of God. In holy pages, this truth can be found, a promise to stand on when darkness abounds. Oh, right never loses, and wrong never wins, and grace will
this morning, that grace is always greater than sin. And where where sin was going on, where sin abounded, if we can put it that way. Grace did much more abound and overtake sin and say, sin, take your place. I'm grace. Grace shows up. That is, and it's greater than sin. And so aren't you glad to know that today? Isn't it great to know of the grace of God that abounds in our lives? It's God's favor, God's understanding, God's loving us and being to us what we need Him to be. And He is a forgiving, loving God that abides in grace and extends grace to you and I. Thank you for coming together this morning. We're so glad to have you here at Liberty Baptist Church. Welcome. And so in this title of my message this morning, we have been giving out some handouts about the scripture verses, and then there's a second handout that I want to know if you received. Anybody did not get the two handouts that we have? If you did not get them, please raise your hand. I don't see any hands raised. Thank you, Gene. Gene has been so good to hand those out for us, and we appreciate Gene in doing that. So now, I want to tell you, the title of this message this morning is Our Journey. But there's a couple of thoughts that must really be involved in our journey as Christians. In our journey. Now, the first thing is that for us to even get into the right place and get on the right road so we can be in this journey of walking with Jesus, we've got to have something happen in our lives. And so, before I get into the scripture reading text of the message, which is in the book of Exodus, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read that in chapter 2 because I believe that it talks about a place where we were. And I hope that you're not there any longer today, but I'll tell you, if you're there, if you're in bondage in any way, then you have come to the right place, because here is where you can lay that bondage and that sin down and go begin that journey with Jesus in the way that you should. In other words, there's deliverance to find you right where you are and get you on the right trail, the right path. And so in the two handouts, there was the second handout, which had a picture of a man on a straight path, and or at least it looked like that's what he wanted. That was his plan, or my plan, as it addresses that. And then notice the finish line is there at the end of that line, and that's the straight line. The idea is that's my plan. In other words, I really prefer the easier way. I don't prefer all of these ups and downs and difficulties and hardships of Christian living and Christian life, but they come anyway. So my plan would be to go straight to the finish line. God's plan is a little different than that, because you see what's involved in your journey with Him. So understand then that our journey is such that we have to bring into it the idea of bondage, and I want to read a few verses in the book of Ephesians to you about that. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'd like to address a little bit about that as Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. And I'd like to just point out what he's saying to them in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 1. He says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So now, on your journey, if you're in trespasses and sins, and you're here this morning, then and you're in trespasses and sins, then you're simply in bondage. You're in bondage. You're going through life in bondage. And so what we have to tell you about is that there is deliverance. And Paul says, "And you hath he quickened who were what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins." And that's in bondage. If you're in trespasses and sins today, you are bound up in your life and you need Jesus to set you free. And so Paul goes on to say, "Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." That's the way it was before you met Jesus. That's the way it was before you were delivered from the bondage of sin. And so our journey then is that we're on a journey to the promised land. We're on a journey to enter into the promises of God, but we must be set free and we must be delivered from sin. And so that journey then, we'll be all in to follow the Lord in the way that we ought to. And then in 2 Corinthians, to get us on that journey, to get us in the right place, when sins are forgiven, we know that in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to us about something very important. In verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, then you are a new creature, a new creation. You are made anew. You are blood bought, blood washed. He goes on to say, old things are passed away. One of the sure things that tells us we're new in Christ and a new Christian or born again is the fact that old things passed away. All things have become new. So on our journey, we must be a creature in Christ. We must be in fellowship with Him. Old things passed away and other things, all things become new. And so as a new creature, we have moved from bondage to deliverance. And the fact that we're born again means we've been delivered, set free from sin. And so somehow these thoughts and these ideas begin to cause us to look very clearly at what was going on with Israel, the Hebrew people. When we see what was going on with them, we see a people that needed deliverance. They needed to get out of bondage. And so I want to take you for the reading of God's Word this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 3. And I want to read a few verses there in Exodus, beginning with verse 7. Exodus 3, beginning with verse 7. I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me here for the reading of the Word of God as we emphasize God's Word as life and as health to all our flesh, as we give our attention to the Word of God that is so important to our life and living, and it'll take us to heaven. So we reverence God's Word and what it says. It's important to us. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large. And then he goes on to say, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He said then in verse 9, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I want to read that again, because that's what I really want you to understand as one of the real thoughts about this message today. Right here, he said, and I have seen the oppression, he said, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. God was hearing what was going on. God knew what was going on. The cries of the people were reaching out to God, and God, in other words, they had his attention, God's attention. He said, and I have also seen the oppression. Wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee, and he's talking to Moses, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing today in this message. Father, I've wrestled with this message for a number of weeks, and not knowing when I was going to preach it, and then suddenly I felt now was the time. And so, Father, I know that we must understand clearly that we have been offered every avenue to get out of bondage. We have been offered every pathway to be delivered and to walk in the way that we need to walk. And Father, I know the world's offered the same path. The world is offered the same path, but not everybody is taking advantage of it. But Father, this morning I thank you for the fact of that deliverance out of bondage, and we give you praise for it. And we ask you, God, to bless and anoint and direct us in delivering this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. You may be seated. You may be seated. So, in this portion of Scripture, as interesting as it is God calling Moses to be involved in a special mission. A special mission, clearly, to deliver the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt. To deliver the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt. And so God then, in this chapter, God, he used a miracle of the burning bush. And by the way, the miracle of the burning bush is a bush burning without being consumed. Have you ever seen anything burn without it being consumed? I never have. And I'm sure that just absolutely caught Moses' attention to see that happen. And so it was a miracle, the fact that the bush was burning and the bush was not being consumed by the fire. And so we see that that is what it took to get Moses' attention. And so we see then that before God spoke to Moses out of the midst of the bush, he said, verse 4 to him, he said, we have then something very interesting in verse 4 of chapter 2 to really look at. In verse 23, he said, and the children of Israel sighed. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. They sighed and they cried. That rhymes, but they sighed and they cried by reason of the bondage, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And so notice this, that because of their cries, because of their looking to Almighty God, looking heavenward for an answer, they were able then to get God involved in their circumstances. Don't ever think that God doesn't care about what you're going through. I'll tell you, God cared about what they were going through. And their cries were expressed unto Him. And so He had been paying attention to their cries. And I'll tell you this morning, understand, know this, that your cry unto Him about the things that you're going through, He is interested in what it is. He is interested in what it is. This is not a people that just had a special pathway to heaven and a special line of communication. It was a pathway that they could cry out to God and know, as Hebrew people, that they knew God loved them and that they had their eyes on Him. And so understand that God is interested in every one of us and what we're going through. And so the cries are made here. God hears you as you cry unto Him about your circumstances. Now that's a good thing to know, isn't it? That's a beautiful thing to know. In my circumstances, I'm having a difficult time and I cry unto Him and He cares. He cares enough that He'll get involved with me and He'll send an answer and He'll reach me right where I'm at. I want you to notice in the book of Psalms, where in chapter 34, Psalms, verse 6, it says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That cry God heard. Notice this. In verse 15 of that same chapter, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. I'll tell you, somehow you must understand that you're in this category to where you can get God involved in your life, and He will hear your cries. Why? Because you have been brought out of bondage, and you are walking in a newness of life because deliverance has set you free from sin. And so as a people of God, you qualify as a people of God, as the family of God, as people that love the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, verse 15, and His ears are open unto their cry. Look at verse 17, Psalms 34. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all, not just some of their troubles, but out of all of their troubles. And now notice verse 19. Psalms 34, the same chapter. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And so understand, when you cry out to God in whatever you're going through, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty, He understands and He cares about you. That's the first thing you need to know. Israel is crying out for an answer. They needed God's help. They had been crying unto Him for deliverance and for help and release from the terrible bondage of Egypt and the taskmasters of what they were doing with them. And they cried out to God. I like 1 Peter 5:7 to bring it into a New Testament view. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares on Him, for He careth for you. Why wouldn't you want to cry out to Him? Why wouldn't you want to let your situation be known unto Him? Our sister here that was in last week, you were in intensive care. I know cries were made in her behalf by people praying for her. We heard it. We heard it recently at the Wednesday night prayer service. I know it was mentioned. And then look at this. Cry was made and God heard, and I see that you're here. You wouldn't be here if you couldn't be here, if you physically couldn't. But you're here because God has heard the cry and healed and strengthened. And our sister's here today. Thanks be unto God for that. So he is concerned about us. But now notice verse 24 and 25 of chapter 2. Verse 24 and 25 of chapter 2 here. Notice this. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant. You see, it was a covenant that God had made. He heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what was that covenant? I want to take you to it. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, 13, and 14. And I want to share that with you. The covenant that God had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I understand that the Hebrew people were in that family. The Hebrew people were in that family. You and I are in that family of concern. Why? Because we're linked in through Abraham, the father of the faithful. We're involved through the father of faith because we have faith and we know Jesus. And so we're also grafted into that family. But here was the the covenant. God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 15, 13, and 14. And He said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now, get this. The Hebrew people were crying out in that land that was not theirs. This was stated in Genesis, and this happened in Exodus. Know, a surety, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. That's the Hebrew people. That's Israel. And shall serve them. And that's what they were doing. They were groaning because their task and the things they had to do, and making bricks and building and doing all the things that they had to do, and be under the heavy rule of Pharaoh and all that was going on. And says, be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They were doing that. And they shall afflict them 400 years. 400 years, but let me tell you, the time of that was coming to an end. Let me tell you, God was tuning in and beginning to move in that direction. Look at verse 14. And also that nation, excuse me, that nation who they shall serve will I judge. God says, I'll judge them. I'll take care of things. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. That was getting ready to happen. Why? Because they were about to be delivered. Why? Because God had the attention of a man that was going to be the deliverer. Who was that man? That was Moses. He was the man that God had His eye on right here. God was talking to him in this that I'm reading you today. So this was the covenant, and it was unfolding right here in this very story that I'm reading to you. That fulfillment, that covenant, that agreement, that promise was unfolding right here in this story. And so I want you to know Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. I know their brokenness. Let me tell you, Jesus knows your sorrow. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus here gives the reason for his Spirit-anointed ministry. In Mark 4:18, he gives the reason for it. It was for a purpose. It said, he said to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so understand that God knows our sorrows today. He knows what we've been captive and caught up into. He knows what we need to be delivered from. He knows how we need to be set free. And I'll tell you, anybody that's caught up in sin and entangled in sin, it doesn't matter what it is, they'll need to be set free. And so that freedom is what we have in Jesus. And so to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, bruised in the Greek means crushed. Them that are bruised, them that are crushed. And to say crushed means so bruised, you're filled with sorrow if you're crushed. Understand today, anybody that is crushed and in sorrow, Jesus wants to come on the scene and deliver you and take you to a better place. I'll tell you, I want to go. I want to go to a better place. I don't want to live being down and out. I don't want to live being in bondage and sin. I want to get away from that. I want to walk in peace and liberty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. And so today, we can be set free from bondage and sin if we'll only give Jesus an opportunity. And so, this is our journey, bondage to deliverance. We're talking about Israel and what was going on with them, but this is our journey, bondage to deliverance, when we find Jesus. And so sin had us bound. We're held in captive, but praise the Lord, we have found deliverance. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord speaking to Moses said, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large. So God called Moses to be his mouthpiece to Pharaoh as an instrument. He would use him in a mighty way, a way of deliverance. So how did Moses respond when God called him? Now, when God called him, he wasn't just wanting some response like a roll call and say, I'm present. You know how we might give a roll call, hear a roll call and respond, well, I'm here. Well, what did Moses do? God called Moses, and what did Moses say in chapter 3? He said, Moses, Moses, and what did he say? He said, here I am. Now, in that statement of here I am, he's saying, God, here I am available to you. I'm not just looking around to see if you're going to call somebody else's name. Here I am. I'm here. And in his statement of response, understand, it was a statement of saying, I'm all in. It's a statement of saying, God, I'm available. And I wonder, how available are we to the Lord today? Are we available to him in our lives for him to do whatever he wants to do? Are we really available? And so he said, here I am. And so I want to tell you just a little bit about Moses' life. It's divided into three 40-year periods. There were 40 years that he was in the palace of Pharaoh. There was 40 years that he was in Midian on the backside of the desert. And then there was 40 years as deliverer of his people from Egyptian bondage. And so what we see then is Moses is moving into that place to be the deliverer of people that are bound in Egypt and to bring them out. Well, you see, understand that God is working on him to get the job done. And so what we understand about Moses is that his ministry foreshadows the ministry of Christ. It foreshadows the ministry of Jesus. In which way does it foreshadow? Well, an attempt was made to destroy both Moses and Jesus as infants. You recall the story. Moses was placed in the little ark and put in the river, and how that he was rescued out of that, and it was a decree by Herod that the children would be killed, and so Moses was rescued, and Jesus even as it was during that time, understand that he was in a situation like that. So both Moses and Christ ministered as prophet, as priest, and king, and as shepherd. When you look at Moses' life, you see it. And then the third thing is, they both suffered. Moses and Jesus suffered with God's people, delivered the people from slavery, and brought them out into a new covenant. So understand, in that we see a great thing going on, and God's working his plan right here in the children of the Hebrew people, the children of Israel. So in Exodus 3:9, God speaking to Moses says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you Moses. I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So Moses is concerned and says, well, if I go to the people Israel and tell them the God of their ancestors has sent me, or your ancestors have sent me to you, they're going to ask me, what is his name? What is his name? And so, then what should I tell them? And Moses honestly wanted to know, who shall I say has sent me? And so God told him, he replies to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. I am has sent you. Now, there's something very important here to look at, and that is the Lord gave himself a personal name right here. The Lord gave himself a personal name when he said, tell them that I am that I am. From this name, I am that I am, is derived the Hebrew word Yahweh. The Hebrew word Yahweh is derived right here from this I am that I am. And Yahweh is a Hebrew phrase that indicates action. Action. And so God is saying to Moses, I wish to be known as the God who is present and who is active. An active God, a mighty God. In the name Yahweh is the promise of the living presence of God himself day by day to his people. Now, we can take that to heart today, you and I. The promise that day by day, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will be unto us what we need him to be, a deliverance to us in our lives and a strength to us. And so, we count on that. So it expresses his faithfulness. The name Yahweh expresses his faithfulness, love, and care, and his desire to redeem his people and live in fellowship with him. Now, this is significant, that when Christ was born, he was called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And so we see here that he also called himself, and I'm talking about Jesus, also called himself in John 8:58. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus calls himself I am, just as God said to Moses, tell him I am that I am. And so we see the Father and the Son on the same page. We see the Son of God declaring, he said, tell them that I am. So now, you are giving a handout showing my plan, then God's plan. I'd like you to look at that if you haven't already closely looked at it. My plan and God's plan. And so I came across this picture showing the journey of Israel from Egyptian bondage to deliverance, then to the finish line. So look at the first drawing as you see. The little figure is there, and we see a pathway that says my plan, and it is the journey of Israel from Egyptian bondage to deliverance to the finish line. Now, my plan would have it different than what God's plan was. Until you receive Christ as Savior, you're in bondage to sin and you need deliverance. You simply need a Savior. So understand that once you have Jesus in your life and He is your Savior, you don't want to just say, God, I'm going to live now by my plan, by my ways, by what I think. What you need to understand is, in a yielded spirit, when you surrender to Christ, you need to say, it's not my plan that matters, it is your plan that matters. Even though I really want a direct path to the finish line, even though I'd like to go straight and go directly to the finish line, it isn't going to be that way, and it was not that way for Israel. I want you to know. And so, as I saw this in the finish line, and understand in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way it was. That's what your plans will get you. Be without God, without Jesus, without any hope whatsoever. But I'll tell you, that's the way it was. Strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God. But now, notice what he says in Ephesians 2:12. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Nigh by the blood of Christ. And so Israel was in bondage in Egypt. Egypt represents sin, and Israel needed deliverance from sin. There was a need for a deliverer. And so God called Moses. We read about that call today. God got his attention. Moses was God's man. Moses represents a Savior. He led Israel out of bondage and out of deliverance. They were on their journey, and that is shown in this drawing as God's plan. Look at God's plan. Look how that really develops. Look how God, in having things in control, directs people. Understand that God's plan is not our way. It's not the way we would do it. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're on a journey to Canaan's land, the land of promise. And so the first picture shows a journey in a straight line, no hills, no valleys. And yes, that's the way we prefer it. But the reality is, in God's plan, it's rivers to cross, it's valleys to go through, and it's hills to climb. And understand, it's also storms to go through, because that's the way that God has it with His people. That's God's way. Understand, God's way is what we want to line up with. God doesn't do things our way. There are difficulties that we're in, and there are things that we have to overcome. God's way is overcoming. Heaven is for the overcomer. So on our journey, understand, I'm not painting a rosy picture and to tell you when you give your life to Christ, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be smooth after that. There's not going to be any real difficulties. You're on your road to heaven. Let me tell you, God's way is not that way. This exactly is what you see Israel was headed for. Crossing the sea, they got out there. They had one difficulty after another. Pharaoh was in pursuit of them, and they needed miracle after miracle to keep on going. And I'll tell you, you and I need miracles of healing, miracles of strength, miracles of blessing to keep on going. But I'll tell you one thing about it, Max, we got to keep on going. We can't lay down and say, I can't do this anymore. We can't give up our pursuit of the things of God. The reality of it is God's plan is rivers to cross. God's plan is a difficult way. I like what Timothy said. Paul said to Timothy, really, in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he goes on to say, he says, no man that warreth, no man that really looks at things in the right frame of understanding of what life is about, no man that warreth, no man that fights a good fight of faith and wars in the faith and stands in the faith, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may do what? That he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. Now, on our journey, I want to close with this thought. On our journey, there are two real things that we need to take to heart. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12. There are two things that we need to think about on our journey, because it isn't an easy way. Though I prefer that, it isn't an easy way. And really, when you think about it, the fact is, when you go through hard times and it makes you stronger in your faith, you have to say, well, I really don't really think it's the best thing. It's not something I really should prefer. I should prefer the hardness of the way, because in that, I'm going to learn to trust Him. Do you see this morning, through that, you learn to trust Him. Through that, your faith is getting stronger. Through that, you're seeing that as your eyes is on your deliverer, as your eyes is on Jesus, just as they were looking for a man here, and Moses had to be that man, God called him. And so they were looking for a man, a deliverer. And so Moses then was a type of Christ, the foreshadowing of Christ to come to deliver the people from Egypt or from sin. And so today we look to Jesus, who is our Savior, our deliverer, and He'll carry us through. So now look at verse 1, Hebrews 12, 1. Let us lay aside every weight. Now this is how we ought to travel. This is how we ought to go. This is a path we ought to be on. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us on our race, on our journey, on our freedom from bondage and sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then in verse 2, it's very interesting here, because we're told in verse 2 of Hebrews 12, where we need to be looking on our journey. You're on your journey. Look what he says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So looking to Jesus in your journey. That's the way you'll overcome. That's the way you'll arrive. That's the way you'll get through those rivers that are deep and those hard places, those hills that are difficult to climb. That's the way you'll get through those storms of life, is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So this morning, as I close this out, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy to come. I wonder, what direction are you looking? You've been delivered out of bondage. If there's anyone here that's not been given their life to Christ and you need deliverance from bondage and sin, I invite you to come. These altars are open. Brother Jimmy's going to come and lead us. Think about it. Come and give your life to Christ this morning, but understand you need His help in this journey, looking unto Jesus. Are you looking unto Him this morning, Brother Jimmy?
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Would you stay together with me this morning? We're on a journey. We're on a journey. But I'm so glad that our Jesus cares about everything that we're going through. Now, I think today that just across this congregation, we're all going through something different. You know, we're all facing different problems, different issues. It could be just sickness, affliction of various sorts. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. We're going to close with this thought. Whatever you're going through, you can cry out to a God who is listening. He heard the cries of the people of Israel. He heard the cries of the Hebrew people. Lord, don't you even care anymore about us? He heard their cries. And He was listening. He tuned in. He was aware of their sorrows. Our God this morning is aware of your sorrows. Don't ever hesitate to lay it all on Him. Give it all to Him today. He is your answer. So we're going to close this service out. Would you join with me as we pray? Father, I thank you for every one of those that are here today. Father, thank you that you are the answer. You have brought and given us deliverance from the things of darkness. We're walking in the light. And today, we're so glad to know that we've been set free, that Jesus, you are our deliverer, and you are still there listening and caring and wanting to help us wherever we are. Father, bless each and every one that's been here. May they take these thoughts and this fact that there is help and there's blessing in Jesus. Turn it all over to him. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming. Brenda, thank you for the song this morning. Brother Jimmy, thank you for your help, brother.